20HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Eric Leuschner. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to the number 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. Today we're here with Rachel Evans, and my name is Emma Lugo, and we're going to be talking about a program that Rachel's working on that supports the houseless and people without homes community here in Portland, and talking a little bit more about homelessness and kind of what's going on to support those folks. So Rachel, welcome to KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks, Emma. Appreciate it.
Thanks. So, Rachel, tell me a little bit about yourself and tell me about this program that you work with.
Thanks, Emma. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today. Yes, I'm Rachel Evans, and I work at the Oregon Jewish Community Foundation. And our mission is to promote a culture of giving in Oregon and Southwest Washington that creates a thriving Jewish community, but also a thriving secular community as well. And so we had an opportunity to develop a new program this year. It's a pilot program that is called Impact Together. And essentially this program is a fund of the Community Foundation that raises money on behalf of a group of nonprofits that are addressing a common cause. And so we did a lot of research on how this program is going to look, and we had to choose the nonprofits. But before that, we had to choose a cause of something that we wanted to support this year and be very proactive in. And so we did a lot of research, we talked to a lot of people, and we determined homelessness as our cause this year to focus on. And so there's a lot of reasons why we chose homelessness. One of the biggest reasons is that Oregon has the highest rate of homeless families in the country. So that means at least one youth and one adult individual. And that was very alarming. And in addition to that, during COVID time, homelessness grew the most in the state of Oregon, as opposed to the other states in the West Coast, including California. And so what is happening with Oregon? Like what can be done to do this? How can we think about this in a different way? So homelessness was a very clear cause we wanted to support. So we had this idea that in order to make systemic, broader change, how do we get nonprofits in the space of homelessness to work together in order to create, using their expertise at all of these organizations, to work together to collaborate to make solutions for our homelessness problem? And so we interviewed many, many, many organizations to participate in this program, and ultimately five are in the program this year. And those five focus on sort of two categories, on housing solutions and then support services, although of course they kind of merge together because housing organizations have really comprehensive support services too. And so right now what we're doing is we are spotlighting all of the organizations, and they each get a monthly feature. We highlight each nonprofit during a particular month. And so we're trying to get our community aware of what's happening and the solutions to be a part of it. And I'm happy to give you the list of organizations now if you'd like to know who's participating.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about some of the organizations that you're going to be highlighting this year.
Yeah, we have a phenomenal group of people. We're very, very lucky. The first organization we highlighted was an organization called Community Partners for Affordable Housing. They focus on affordable housing and resident services in Washington County. They do some Multnomah County, but Washington County primarily. And then our next organization is called Rockwood CDC. And Rockwood, again, is a housing, affordable housing nonprofit, but it focuses on that Gresham East Side community, which you may be aware, Emma, but that Gresham Rockwood community is the poorest community in the state of Oregon. And so we really wanted to make sure we were responsive both on the west side and the east side of representing that. And then our third organization is called HomeShare Oregon, and this organization we thought was really great because it looks at housing in a different model. It's using existing resources that we have to house people rather than just building, which is a solution, but we wanted, again, to make sure we had experts in all these spaces to offer more expansive solutions. And so what they do is if there is a person living in a 3-bedroom house, let's say, they will match that person with an individual at risk of homelessness through a very extensive vetting process, of course, to then live in that home with them. And so it's both helping sort of the loneliness situation with people who are, you know, in these homes, and maybe they need some income as well, by partnering with somebody who is literally one bill away from homelessness. So really interesting model that's very unique. And then we're featuring Stone Soup PDX, which is a great organization that really focuses on at-risk individuals and mentoring them in the culinary space, sort of job workforce development space. So giving people, you know, the means to get out of the cycle of poverty. And then we are featuring Outside the Frame, which is a wonderful organization that works with at-risk and homeless youth to help them create film projects. And again, get into that film industry space and have mentors and things like that. And so those are our 5 organizations. We're going to highlight all of them in June to end our fiscal year. But they all have their particular expertise, and all of them have phenomenal ideas. And we really wanted to think about if we use, you know, all of that, all of these expertise from these organizations, we feel like we could really make systemic change. I will say one final piece on that for this program, it was very, very important to talk to nonprofit leaders, government leaders, and folks with lived experience of homelessness to create this program. We wanted to make sure that we were talking to everybody, and everybody has a lot of opinions on homelessness, what is right, what is wrong. And we had that. We talked to a lot of people, but it was very important, especially that lived experience component. So I had very, very meaningful conversations with people who've been through a lot, to think about how can we create this program with that intention of those people in mind. So that's a little bit about that.
Thanks. I'd really like to start by maybe talking a little bit more about some of the organizations.
Yeah.
Because they're all so interesting, and it sounds like you really had a chance to kind of learn about them. And because since you're highlighting them, you must have some awareness of them. Like, so going back to HomeShare, I mean, when people think about something like that, how can they get over maybe some of their anxiety about maybe opening up their space to someone? Like, are we talking about like I live on a street where there's a lot of houseless folks. They walk up and down the street. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we talking about just opening the door up and having one of those folks come in and live with me, or how does this whole thing work?
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, we see the pervasiveness of this issue, and that, you know, come when we don't have infrastructure, that comes with challenges that people feel a lot of feelings around. So this is not, and to my understanding, an organization where, you know, that situation happens where you're sort of just opening a door to somebody. They have created a software a really innovative software to do this matching and this extensive vetting process. And I will say as well, HomeShare isn't sort of just taking somebody who's living on the streets right now. They take somebody in that one bill away from homelessness, one, you know, car issue away from homelessness. So it is,
which is a lot of people. That's a lot of people.
Many people who are often forgotten about in this arena. And so this is a very
vulnerable. It almost sounds like homeless prevention.
Yes, exactly right. A lot of these, right, are working on homelessness prevention too. And so they have that vetting process, but they're working very intentionally with the community of at-risk folks. So they have so many systems in place because you're right, you're opening your home to somebody you don't know. You know, what does that look like? How, you know, there's a lot, there's months of, you know, extensive vetting that goes through. Yeah.
And not that there's not a place for organizations where there's those people who walk around on the street. We see them every day, right. You know, to get them housing too. But I mean, I think that your approach recognizes that housing is kind of a process. I mean, you can't take somebody who's just like right on the streets today, especially if they have substance abuse issues, and just put them straight into housing and just like, you know, forget about them. It doesn't work that way. I mean, their people need treatment if they're going through substance abuse, if they have mental health issues, those need to be addressed. Obviously, they need to have some way of supporting themselves or else some means of support for them. You know, and so the very first one you talked about was actually one where you mentioned that they're specifically address issues around families. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I will phrase all of them deal with issues around families. All of them manage that. That was mostly just a
statistic. Oh, that's what the OJCF is looking at.
That's exactly right. Exactly. Right. So, Community Partners for Affordable Housing, CIPA, their big thing is focusing also on that at-risk community as well, that community that's often forgotten about, but creating that affordable housing with that resident services piece in mind. And so actually the money that we are raising for these nonprofits, which 100% of the money we're raising gets equally distributed among the five, they are actually using that money for their resident services. Obviously, large capital projects of creating affordable housing, those are very big projects, but the resident services is often not always looked at, right? And so it's exactly what you just said, Emma. You have to have these pieces in place for sustainability. And I will mention another thing too. We are using sort of the model of the continuum of care model. You may have heard this too through talking about in the homelessness space, where it's this idea of offering tailored support at every stage in one's, you know, homelessness experience, wherever they're at. We wanted to choose nonprofits that are also sort of on that journey of like what happens when somebody's on the street to then getting support services, to getting mental health services. What if you're, you know, a youth? What does that tailored support looks like? Because you're right. If we just sort of put people in housing and there's no support at all for them to stay in that housing, we're contributing to this cycle all over again. So that continuum of care model was really important to us as we were creating this. Yeah. I hope that answers.
Yeah, yeah. So Stone Soup, I've heard about Stone Soup. I mean, you see the word, you see them around on billboards sometimes, different things, and there's a lot of stories about them. What does Stone Soup do? Tell me a little bit more about them.
Yeah, Stone Soup is wonderful. They are really that workforce development piece. So they do take the at-risk individuals that, again, are maybe they don't have an employment, right? Maybe their employment is off and on or spotty or whatnot. And so they put them through an actual culinary program, these people, where they actually learn lessons and they graduate from the program, to have expertise in these culinary skills. And so they can go off to many different things after that, but they also give them like a stipend. They give them a gas card, these things. They're giving them assistance to be able to get to these programs and to complete their education. So it's not just the wonderful, incredible soups that we see at Zupans and things like that. It's a really that workforce development educational piece. But of course, you can't have that piece without the stipend, without the gas card, without. So they're really thinking about the in a holistic way about the whole human being experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness in their case.
Are they? Are any of them making a good matzo ball soup?
No, I need to check with them.
I'd like to find out. Yeah,
that's a good idea. That will be
that'd
my
be great.
Follow-up.
I'd love a good matzo ball. That's great. Yes. Yeah, no, that'd be great for Pesach. Yeah,
exactly.
And then so we now the rock. You also talked about the Rockwood. What is that again? The Rockwood CD, Community Development Corporation. Is that what I mean? Yeah.
Exactly.
So, like, so for people who don't know, where is Rockwood? You mentioned it's the poorest community. I mean, how could that be though? It's in Portland. How could it be the poorest? What does that mean? Tell me about that.
Yeah. Thanks for asking about that. This is a historically neglected area. A lot of people don't want to take leadership or accountability with this particular area. And because of that, for many, many years, it's created this lack of infrastructure for people. I have been told too that the life expectancy of people in Rockwood is much lower than people who are living in, you know, downtown Portland, Southwest Portland, even, you know, Woodstock on the east side and whatnot. So the main reason it's just a historically neglected area in which for some reason there hasn't been, before Rockwood and things like that, a lot of focus on this population of people. And so just, I think the main answer to that question is just historically not
it's just been neglected. Yeah.
So the
Rockwood Community Development Corporation, what do?
They build affordable housing for this community, but also do resident services. They do health fairs, they do educational programming. Again, a very intentional decision to make sure we're working with a group that doesn't just put buildings up, but has, you know, that support resident services in mind. So very similar to Community Partners for Affordable Housing, but just focusing on East Side community and that far East Side Rockwood community.
Oh, great. And then when you say they build, are you talking like those little houses that the homeless people live in, or is this apartments, or kind of housing is it?
For both of them, it's like apartments housing. So, you know, we're focused on really long-term systemic change. And the housing part of this program took a long time because there's many, as you know, many, many opinions on what is the right way to house people, what is the right way to do. And so we felt that through our research and talking to folks with lived experience, like I was mentioning earlier, this, you know, long-term apartment housing has seemed to be a better system than just very transitional housing. However, there is a place for transitional housing. If somebody is on the street and they are in desperate need of housing, that is a service they need. So there's definitely a place for that service. I think we just have seen through research that long-term affordable housing, rather than you're talking about some of the what are they called? But the little, you know, the little homes of homes and whatnot, and that creates community. And again, if people need housing, that's awesome. You know, they're there. But again, thinking about systemic change, we were trying this program. Yeah.
That's great. And then one of the other ones that you mentioned was the youth. doing the film stuff. So that's my sister went to film school, and I was around when people did film shoots, and I've actually produced a lot of television myself, so I know how much fun it is. It really is fun. So what are these youth doing? Yeah. How's that work?
That's great to hear your background. You may know Neely Yosha is the CEO of Outside the Frame. So Neely, we're working with Neely. She's been wonderful, amazing. She's taught us. I mean, all of these nonprofits have taught the foundation so much about this issue. They taught me all about this. And so Neely has been one of those. And Neely is a filmmaker herself. Her parents were filmmakers. And so she came and created this organization for homeless youth to learn how to make films and have mentorship programs and go through a process to kind of expand their opportunities in sort of the artistic filmmaking space. And they learn so many different things from like the production side of piece to being in the films, all of this, you know, kind of choosing your own adventure of what that looks like. And so, and then each year, Neely and Outside the Frame put on an absolutely phenomenal gala where they feature these films. They're very, very, it's a very emotional event. It's very meaningful. But it's all about the kids, the students, mostly high school students, you know, first and what they're, and they often make films about their personal experiences as well of dealing with these challenges. And so Neely has created a really unique, using her skills and her background and her passion to try to inspire this next generation. And again, to try to get out of the cycle of poverty, cycle of homelessness.
Well, learning how to be a filmmaker is a great skill. I mean, it's really an amazing skill because, I mean, filmmakers are just such, there's so much that goes into making a film. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, it makes you go crazy thinking about all the details that you have to pay attention to just for like a short little film, you know, like a 5 or 8 minute film. Like, it's just a major production. I mean, people just don't understand how much work it is and how much coordination there is.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, but a really good film, even a really good short piece, like, just communicates so well.
Yeah.
You know, it can be just a really incredible.
Yeah.
And the process of being engaged in that kind of a creative act is so transformative. So, and kids love, they love film. They love technology. So that makes a lot of sense.
It
really does.
It's an approachable thing for them. It's an approachable way of having some of that job training, workforce development training by kind of getting to the creative artistic piece of it, right? That's a language that we all can understand and be a part of. And sometimes that's the way people need to enter this kind of space. And so she's providing that opportunity. It's great.
So we talked about the Rockwood Community Development Corporation, Stone Soup, the film thing, and Home Share. I can't remember who was the first one that you mentioned.
Community Partners for Affordable Housing in primarily Washington County. They do their work.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So is homelessness housing insecurity an issue in Washington County? Then I guess you must have looked at that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. There's a reason why, you know, Oregon has, across the state, has some of the highest rates of homelessness in the country. So it is pervasive everywhere. Of course, and you know well, Multnomah County is different than Washington County, and the way that the counties handle things are different. There are some unique challenges that Multnomah County has that's different than Washington County. So some decisions and the timing of the matter of those decisions are different, you know, but similar issues are going on. Because this is also focusing on SEPA, focuses on Tualatin area too, and getting sort of further out in that area, which is important to also serve.
Yeah, I mean, and those kind of areas, oftentimes people who have housing insecurity, I mean, really fall through the cracks because they're not seen.
Many, many. And that's the case with Rockwood, too. Just sort of a, like, let's push this away for somebody else's problem. And what happens when you do decades and decades of pushing away? Mm-hmm. These are life or death situations. And I hope people can understand that. Obviously, there are people that feel frustration around this issue. I get it. I understand it, especially maybe. I mean, I think there's always been pervasive homelessness, but it, obviously our city has changed, like we were just discussing, and over the last several decades. But yeah, this is a life or death. These are life or death situations. And so we really felt we needed to be proactive as a community foundation to do something.
Even though it's not one of the community organizations that you're highlighting this year, I was wondering if you could just mention, we were talking before the interview started about somebody that offers hygiene care for folks. And that's like a kind of a more direct need, but just for folks who maybe don't know about it, what is that? What is that program?
Yeah, this is Hygiene for All, which is ran by my dear friend, Sandra. It's a really new organization, a 3 years old organization. I think they just celebrated 3 years. And what Hygiene for All do is they provide a hub that's under the Morrison Bridge on the east side for people who are directly, experiencing homelessness on the streets to take showers, to have health products, to do STD, STI testing, to do, again, these very life or death situations. And so they provide that resource. And these hygiene products are absolutely essential to people. Again, I'm, mentioning this a couple of times, but a life or death situation if these products are not, given to people who don't have access to healthcare in the same ways that you and I do and others. And so they can come to this hub and they can have these showers and they can take care of themselves and whatnot. And there's other services that they provide, but distributing the hygiene products is the most important. And they serve everybody, every single person.
So the five organizations that the OJCF does highlight, are they featured somewhere where people can find out more information about them if they want to get online?
Thank you so much for that. Yes, so you can find everything on our foundation website, ojcf.org. However, if you do ojcf.org/impact, that is our Impact Together webpage, and it goes through the process of how we chose these nonprofits. It goes through that each nonprofit has their own profile page where we had a list of questions that they answered so people can learn about the particular specific nonprofits too. And then people, of course, can also donate. And again, all of the money, 100% of the money raised is going to be equally distributed amongst all the nonprofits. Again, the whole focus is collaboration for systemic change. It's very important for us to celebrate and give equal funding to everybody.
Well, it's such an important value. I know everybody's thinking right now about houselessness. It's mm-hmm. really first, it's foremost on so many of our minds because we just see what's happening right now where people just don't have adequate housing. So it's really great that, that you've been thinking about that.
Yeah. And, the Impact Together Fund, the intention is for every year, every new fiscal year, we're going to have a different cause, a cause that we believe is important, that our fund holders believe is important, our community believes is important. So we are going to continue this program into next year, and we will decide what that cause is going to look like for next year. But that's the whole goal, is how do we create collaborative programming that will create systemic long-term change. That's important to us at the foundation, especially right now.
Great, thanks. We've been talking today with Rachel Evans from the OJCF about Impact Together, a fund that supports programs that address houselessness and housing insecurity here in Portland. Rachel, thanks so much for joining us today on KBOO Community Radio. Thank you.
listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
Hey, KBOO listeners, you want to tune in to PDX Progressive Talk Radio every fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m., where we do a deep dive into issues that matter most to our community. Every month, we're taking on homelessness, community policing, supporting local small businesses, and so much more. We're here to foster solutions and move progressive change. Brought to you by our dedicated team, me, Sherry Morish, and our host, Moses Ross, this show is your go-to for progressive dialogue and local action. Don't miss out on the conversations that are shaping Portland and the